Did you know the ESO Network has a brand new Patreon? That's right, we're asking for your help, and you could do it for as little as a dollar a month. Don't fret, all your favorite shows will still be available for free as always, but you can get exclusive podcasts and more not heard anywhere else but on our Patreon. To sign for the ESO Network Patreon's easy. All you have to do is go to esopodcast.com and click on the link. With your support of the ESO Network, it's you who will reap the rewards.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
I'm Drew Leiter.
And I'm Cletus Jacobs.
And welcome to episode 131 of the Earth Station DCU! Tonight we're going to talk Titans number 29, 30, 31, and 32, Nightwing number 54 and 55, Titans season 1 episode 10, Coriander, Titans season 1 episode 11, Dick Grayson. But before we get into that, let's talk some DC news. All right, Cletus, first up for DC news. To start the new year off, Brian Michael Bendis has posted a series of 10 images teasing DC Comics stories he's working on in 2019. Among the images are a shot of Batman Beyond, an extreme close-up of Legions of Superheroes logo, some panels from Jack Kirby's Fourth World stories, and a few other things. Did you see that?
I did not, but I'm curious to see what he does. I'm wondering if some of those will surely pop up in his Superman title, but we'll see where else they might show up at or what other books he might show up on.
Right. And we know the Doomsday Clock storyline is supposed to be bringing back Legions of Superheroes along with the JSA. So I wouldn't be surprised if they end up popping up in his Superman title, especially since Superman was once part of the Legion of Superheroes. Speaking of Brian Michael Bendis, this month launches his Wonder Print. And in the back of the comics that came out this week, we saw that for titles that are geared for teenagers that are coming out for under that imprint are Young Justice, Dal H for Hero, Wonder Twins, and Naomi. I don't know if you saw any of those or not, Cletus.
I have. I've saw them in the backups of the issues that we were reading this week. I think they've been teasing him for a couple weeks now. I think it's really cool. I think it's a good idea to do the imprint. I am unsure how successful they'll be because I think we talk about a lot that trades and graphic novels are where most of the sales at. That is even more so for the young adult market. Like they really, single issues, I just don't think sell a whole lot towards that market right now. And so I like the idea. I question how successful a monthly issue approach to it will be, though.
Yeah. And now we know why Dal H for Hero was in one of the Superman titles recently.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Wonder Twins have ever had their own title. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, the last thing I can remember them that they were in was a much different twist on them in the Justice League 3000 series during the New 52.
And then I think this Naomi one is a new concept.
That's what it looked like to me, but I could be wrong. She didn't seem familiar.
Also this week, DC Entertainment released comic book tributes to Stan Lee in the back of all their titles, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a nice touch. I thought it was, you know, subtle but nice. You know, nothing too much.
Right.
Yeah, no, I liked it. I liked what they did.
I did too. All right, and other DC news. Ruby Rose's Batwoman pilot got picked up by the CW. Not that we were surprised by that or anything.
No, I would. It almost would be more news if it didn't get picked up. I mean, was there any doubt?
No, I didn't have any doubt. No, I was just when they announced it, I was like, "Oh, okay." But
that was my reaction was like, I didn't know it had. Actually, to be honest with you, my reaction was, oh, they picked up a whole season of it, because in my head they had already picked up the pilot. So yeah, so not surprised in the slightest. I would be shocked if it doesn't get a full season order or whatever length episode order. There's no way. There's just no way it's not going to get a full show.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if it got a shortened season like Black Lightning did, just to test out the waters.
I would agree with that, yeah.
The CW has tasked Caroline Dries from The Vampire Diaries to oversee the project as showrunner, with Greg Berlanti acting as executive producer, of course. And as for the director, the pilot will be overseen by David Nutter, who did the pilots for both The Flash and Arrow, and even Game of Thrones. So somebody with some notoriety.
Notoriety.
Thank you. I don't know why I try to say these words sometimes. All right, and for our last bit of DC news, Young Justice Outsiders is now streaming on the DC Universe. And Cletus and I will be taking a look at this in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I saw that got added on, and I am looking forward very much to watching the show. I'm probably going to need to rewatch the first few seasons again, though, because I don't remember everything. So it might be a while before I get to the actual new episodes.
Will you be able to get there in 2 weeks then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'll get there.
I'm just going to start watching the new season, so I don't have time to rewatch all that. So, but yeah, I'm excited to check it out too. Especially, they got the comic coming out too, so we'll be taking a look at that also. All right, well, that wraps up DC News for this week. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll do our comics talk.
The Pro Wrestling Roundtable is a podcast for wrestling fans by wrestling fans. Every Monday, you can get your wrestling fix with news, interviews, reviews, wrestling talk from the past, present, and future. So much wrestling talk, even Bonesaw McGraw can't resist. Available on ProWrestlingRoundtable.com, iTunes, and the ESO Network. Come on and listen.
And we're back. But before we get into this week's comic books talk, we gotta let you know, there's gonna be spoilers.
We got spoilers.
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 We got spoilers.
Spoilers.
For you. We got spoilers.
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 We've got spoilers.
Spoilers.
For you.
For you.
All right, let's talk Titans number 29 through 32. And it's been a little while since we've talked about Titans. So it'll be nice to kind of catch up with them. We see the Titans had barely escaped the Ocean Lords in the Drowned Earth event. And Steel, using their ship, Steel boom tubes them without plotting a course. And they crash land on this alien planet where there's barely any life.
We're talking about this storyline as a whole. So some of these issues I enjoyed. This one I think I remember I enjoyed. But I remember I was very dissatisfied at the end, because one of the core things in this issue that basically just gets forgotten about by the end of the storyline is the whole idea that Steel has this data that is important to saving the Earth. During the Drowned Earth storyline, unless I was misinterpreting the story, but they keep mentioning that she's got this important data that they have to get back to the Justice League to save the Earth. It's very important. And then they ultimately, not in this specific issue, but they ultimately do, and at that point the story's already been wrapped up in other titles, and they're like, oh, whatever. That was like one of the big things driving the drama, and then it was just like not important.
Right, because when they get back to Earth, it's already saved.
Yeah.
But if you notice, when we got to the end of issue, whatever the last one was, 32,
I believe.
Yeah, 32. When we get to the end of issue 32, they are using that data to help them open the unearth.
That's true. That's
so
a good point.
That's where that data comes. That's where they come back around and use it.
Gotcha. Okay. Because that was one of the things I was reading the issue, and I was like, I couldn't figure out where this story was supposed to be taking place exactly, timeline wise. And then when I realized they were talking about Drowned Earth, I'm like, I don't think this is going to be relevant because it's not. They don't come back in the main story. And then it wasn't. I was like, well, what was the point of that?
Well, they end up using that data to open the Unearth.
Yeah.
So that was the importance of it. Well, we see, one of the things we see with the Titans is, we know Nightwing's gone, of course, obviously. And Donna Troy has taken leadership of the team. Somewhere we missed out where Nightwing invites her back to the team. Raven has lost her soul self, which I think I remember talking about a while back. And in one of these issues, we do see she has a vision of her soul self chained up somewhere. Well, what we end up finding out it's on Unearth. So it sounds like they've been planning this story for a while, going back to the Unearth.
Yeah, I have to say the issues for me, issues 29 and 30, where they were those are the two issues where they're marooned on this planet, were okay. I think that one of the things that hurt this was that they attempted to tie it into Drowned Earth, whether they wanted to or they were told to. And it kind of forced them into this kind of side story that I thought wasn't great. And then when they kind of focused on, when we get into issues 31 and 32, we get the introduction of Mother Blood, and then this quest to go to Unearth. And that was very interesting to me. So I was interested by the end of it. But I have to admit, when I was reading this issue 29, following issue that kind of ends that maroon storyline in issue 30, I wasn't that engaged by it because nothing of consequence was happening in it.
No, it was just a bunch of drama. Pretty much.
Well, that was the thing. It was like, it was drama, but it was like, we found out for the umpteenth time that Miss Martian is secretly a white Martian. And it was like, I get it from the perspective of the characters in the story, this is shocking, but like, come on. Everybody reading this issue probably knows that. Very few people who are reading this don't already know that.
Right. I like the fact they didn't focus on it too much. I mean, they focused on it a little bit, but it's over and done with, and they're moving on from it already.
Yeah.
So you got to admit, they wrapped it up in the two issues, and it was done.
They could have just not done it at all, though, is my point. Like, it's one of those things where, like, yeah, you could do it, but it's not like when they did it on Supergirl, because the audience for that, yes, there were people like you and I who know Miss Martian is a white Martian, but there are many people who watch Supergirl who would not know that, would be a legitimate surprise to. People reading this comic, though, I mean, you just have to be realistic. Most people that are reading this comic already know that. And in that point, it's just like, why explore it at all? Why not just have it established that they know?
Yeah.
Or just don't do it, or just don't mention it at any point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, you're right. They should have just gone with them knowing about it and maybe have her have some sort of complication or something. Who knows?
Because then we get at the end of issue, towards the end of issue 30, they kind of recover. The team kind of comes together a little bit, and they're like, no more secrets between us. But there really weren't any other secrets. It was really just Miss Martian being a white Martian. That was the one thing that was odd about that scene, where it was like, no more secrets. I'm like, but that was really the only one. Nobody else had any sort of shocking reveal. I mean, Raven did, but it wasn't because she was hiding it. It was because she literally just found out.
Right, but they already knew she was missing her soul self. So that wasn't a new revelation.
Right, but yeah, that only proves my point, that nobody else really had anything. So it was, again, it led to that moment where they were trying to have the team come together and, like, no more secrets between us, but there weren't. It was literally just the one.
Right. I mean, Donna revealed that she went to Roy Harper's funeral, but of course she would. He's an old teammate.
I think the implication there was that they didn't know that Roy Harper was dead, but even within that scene, see, that was something that was weird to me when I read it. It didn't feel like the characters were impacted by that news that much.
I know.
Probably
there was
they
no
don't
reaction.
Know them that well. It, yeah. something that would affect Donna a lot, obviously.
Yeah.
But it felt like the team was like, what? Oh, no. And then that was like, I don't know that guy, but that stinks.
But wasn't he on that? Wasn't he on that team?
But not with this team, though.
Okay.
Remember, he was on the Titan, the like traditional Titans team, that was Donna and Roy and Wally and Nightwing.
Oh, I think I remember reading a story where he showed up on the team for a little while before it broke up or something.
If he was, I don't know that don't he was you, on this remember, current iteration though.
Don't you remember a story with Roy Harper where he's going after drug dealers by himself?
Yeah, but was this Miss Martian, Beast and Steel team together at that point?
Beast, I thought was, but I don't. Not Steel wasn't on there, and Ms. Martian, I don't think she was on there yet either. Oh well, it doesn't really matter, does it?
No.
Okay, and at the end of this, at the end of that story arc, Kyle Rayner shows up and basically saves them, because he gets their emergency beacon signal.
They're doing something. I was definitely a little bit intrigued when they had Kyle Rayner show up. It made sense that a Green Lantern would show up to save them. I thought that was like, oh yeah, that totally makes sense. It's interesting though. So then when we get into the issues 31 and 32, Kyle Rayner becomes a new member of the team, which surprised me just because it feels like DC as a whole is trying to like ram Kyle Rayner back into the 90s as far as possible.
I knew you were going to bring that up because of his costume.
No, not yes, the costume, obviously. I mean, but I'm not even on the costume right now. But the fact that he's definitely since then, they've kind of written him to be a little bit older, a little bit more of an adult. And it seems like they're trying to use this to kind of like force rewind him into being closer to the Titans' age.
Yeah, isn't he around Nightwing's age though, or do you think he's older than that?
I think at one point he was. I think during the 90s, he certainly was in the like Roy Harper, Dick Grayson, and Donna Troy age range. But I think from reading Green Lantern titles, Kyle Rayner does not seem like the youngest Green Lantern. It seems like it's Jessica Cruz.
Yeah.
But if you were to interpret it, what they're trying to do with this is seem to insinuate that Kyle Rayner is basically these guys' peers, which would then, is Jessica Cruz older than him? Is she getting advice from a guy that's like 20? Doesn't that all seem odd?
That does seem odd.
Or let's also not forget some of the really weird stuff that they were doing with Kyle Rayner and Carol Ferris.
Yes.
I'm just saying, you got to make up your mind how old he is. And then also what was the comic? The Omega Man comic, which I highly recommend. I think I've mentioned it before on the podcast.
You have.
But it was a 12 issue series by Tom King that involved Kyle Rayner plus the Omega Man. It's very, very good. And I can promise you that the Kyle Rayner in that comic is not a Titans age hero in that.
I agree with you. They don't know what to do with Kyle right now.
I don't think but that's the thing. I don't think it was a problem. I really don't think Kyle Rayner was in need of this sort of like rehash to kind of like bring him back into being the young 90s version of himself. I thought Kyle Rayner as a White Lantern was very interesting. I really like, to me, I still don't want it. They fixed something that wasn't broken and didn't need to be fixed by making him a Green Lantern again. They've created the problem of not knowing what to do with him because now they have too many Green Lanterns. If you just kept him as a White Lantern, that's not a problem. He's the only White Lantern.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. You won't have this problem of where do we put Kyle Rayner? What do we do with this character if you don't make him a Green Lantern again?
There is a lot of human Green Lanterns.
Right. Anyway, so I think it's interesting that he's on this team, but I am confused at what DC is trying to do. It definitely seems like they're trying to, like, under the radar, make him younger than what they had definitely been portraying him as in the past 5 years or so. Either that or they're just – or I could be wrong. They're not trying to do that, and they're just saying that he's just, you know – he is a little bit older than these guys, but he's still going to be with them because 90s nostalgia.
Yeah. And what I found funny was Kyle wasn't going to join the team until Batman is observing Don and him sparring, and then all of a sudden he just decides to be on the team.
That was very contrived. I really thought that was kind of dumb. When they're sparring and all of a sudden he's like, actually, I think I'll be on the team with them. Like, oh, come on, that's not something you just decide on the spot like that.
Yeah. I would think he wouldn't want to stretch himself so thin. Right now he's supposed to be helping with guard the source wall.
That was the other thing. They didn't really, like, to me it seemed fairly clear that he got that SOS alert because he's on patrol. And then all of a sudden now he's able to just ignore his Green Lantern duties and go on an adventure with the Titans. I mean, it's fine. I get it. It's comic books. Don't get me wrong. But, like, follow the own logic of your own story that you're telling.
Yeah. Okay, so when we get to the end of the issue 31, we see Gar spewing up some blood. And we get a message from basically a new villain, Mother Blood, which led into issue 32, which where we get the origin of Mother Blood. What do you think of this new villain? Interesting? Not interesting?
I think it's kind of interesting. I think it's what I found fascinating was sort of kind of rehashing the Brother Blood character a little bit, but working in the fact that Brother Blood usually is kind of an incompetent villain to a certain extent. And I thought the working that into her origin, I thought was one of the things that made it interesting. To be honest, I'd be surprised if she's a long-term villain. I'm sure they'll just end up going back to Brother Blood at some point or another.
Oh, yeah, I see that happening.
Within this storyline, I found her intriguing, but I would be surprised if she has a long-term legacy as a character.
I found her origin interesting, too. The fact that she was an immigrant and was kind of homeless and gets picked up by Brother Blood, you know, gives her a home and stuff, but, you know, she has to follow the rules of the cult. It was interesting that he chose her to look into the source wall stuff because of her background as a scientist.
Yeah, I have to say, her origin comic, to me, was the most interesting of the four issues that we read, just because it was something new. It was, you know, it wasn't just like rehashing old storylines that we already know or like mashing new team members together. It was just like a new interesting story. So that was, I will be honest, that was the most intriguing of the four issues that we read, just because it was a new character and a new story.
Yeah, I liked how the fact that when she first took Brother Blood mission, when she agrees to his mission, her plan is to get out of the cult. And when she finds out that some of the stuff Brother Blood was doing was tied to the source wall stuff, and when she actually got the power, it kind of changed her mission into wanting to take control of the cult and lead it into a new direction. Once she got power, she was consumed by it.
I did think it was interesting too that, I mean, she's basically using it as a way to not only have herself escape but also get some of her friends out of it too. And then, like you said, then she's like, oh, wait, actually, I think he might be right.
And then, of course, she sets a plan in motion for the Titans to open Unearth for her and as a plan to try to defeat them. So, very interesting. All right, well, let's move on to our next set of titles for this week. Nightwing number 54 and 55. And we told you we're going to keep you updated on Nightwing. So, in issue number 54, we see Rick Grayson finish up his therapy sessions with Dr. Grudet, who we know is really the Scarecrow. And Rick Grayson still doesn't want anything to do with his old life. But Scarecrow's fascinated by Rick Grayson because it reminds him of somebody from his past. A boy that knew no fear.
Okay, now, at some point reading these two issues, did you think that Scarecrow knew who Rick Grayson was?
No, but he should have.
Okay, because at one point I was like, he must know. He must know, and he is specifically taking Rick as a patient so that he can get information on Batman that he doesn't already have. And then I got to a point where I was like, oh, wait, no. He legitimately doesn't know. And it made the whole thing incredibly confusing. Rick Grayson seemed to be the only person that he seemed to legitimately treat as a psychologist.
I know.
Everybody, you know what I mean? Everybody yes. else he just murders or sprays with his toxin gas or whatever. But he seems to legit just sit down and be his doctor.
I know. It was kind of crazy, wasn't it?
It you doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any – the only way that story makes sense is if Scarecrow actually knows that he's Robin slash Nightwing.
But the comic pointed out he didn't.
I know. Which... and I was just like, what? Why is that guy the one guy that he decides to actually just be a regular therapist for?
Okay. So I wasn't the only person who had issues with that.
It was that was so when it finally clicked and it occurred to me that he didn't know that Rick Grayson was incapacitated Nightwing, I was like, what have these therapy sessions been? Because they were so ominous and they constantly had like Scarecrow's shadow in the background and all of that garbage, and it was just like basically the end message was no, these were all legit therapy sessions.
You know, he would figure out his ties back to Gotham, Bruce Wayne, you know, he would have had to have figured it out. Scarecrow's not that dumb.
It was just, but even, yes, I agree with all of that, but it was just the simple fact that basically the end result was they were, despite all of the, like, foreshadowing and, like I said, like, anonymous things that are going around it, they're just straight-up therapy sessions that have no nefarious purpose to them.
Yeah,
that's the most unbelievable part of it. He is about to go on a murder rampage and has already done so prior to that, but is just doing a straight up legit therapy session with this guy for the course of a couple weeks. Come on. Even I can accept silly things with villains not figuring out who the hero is, because it's like it's always like that. It does bother me. I won't lie. It bothers me, but like, you can get away with it by saying, well, that's how comics are. Sure. Okay. I think that's dumb, but okay. But at least you can't at least have all the other stuff going on with this and then say, yeah, but he wanted to just actually give this one guy actual therapy.
I know. It's kind of crazy.
In case anybody's unsure, I did not like these two issues.
Okay, one of the other things that was new for Scarecrow is now his fear gas makes people unafraid. So the new twist with Scarecrow is he's obsessed with Nightwing, and his new fear gas makes people unafraid, so they attack each other, apparently.
I didn't totally follow the logic on that. The logic seemed to be that if people had no fear, they would just murder each other.
Yeah, that's...
I'm sure for some people that's true.
But not everybody.
But universally...
Yeah, that didn't make much sense either.
I feel like you could explore a lot of different things with that. I feel like you could have done something beyond just sending people into a feral rage, right? Like, you could have had some people just, like, people just acting out of character in different ways.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's a really interesting story that you could actually tell with that and not the story that they are telling.
I agree with you. Bloodhaven's happy that the Nightwing has returned. We got four Nightwings now.
They're just so over the top and extreme. You've got Nightwing with a gun, Nightwing with an axe, which I get because he's supposed to be a fireman, but it almost seemed like they were begging people to figure out who they were. And also, I don't get the point of the axe beyond, like, oh, he's a fireman, so we need to show that he's a fireman's axe. Because he never actually uses the axe, because if he does, that you can't not kill people and use the axe.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just, this is going to be such an embarrassing chapter of Nightwing history, and I just feel like... It's baffling to me that the editorial team and the writing team seem to be the only people not in on the joke with this.
I know. There is one smart character in this storyline, and that's Detective Elise Sabota, or whatever her name is. Because we get a scene where she's not playing dumb. She knows, she goes to the Scarecrow's apartment looking for evidence and tries to, you know, she doesn't beat around the bush that he's Scarecrow. You know what I mean? She figures it out.
Would you argue, so she's smart in that regard, but wouldn't you argue that she's also dumb because she goes to take on the Scarecrow alone?
Yeah, you're probably right about that part of it. But maybe she was just trying to confirm her suspicions first.
I don't know. But if you even go off of what like Scarecrow is saying, he's like, you already know. You're just asking these things as a pretense. And it's like, okay, I believe that she kind of already knows who you are, in which case, why would she do that alone? That I can't imagine a dumber thing to do as a cop. Approach any major Batman villain on your own. I don't care what cop it is. It could be Renee Montoya or Jim Gordon on his own. Like, you shouldn't go on your own.
No, you shouldn't. I could see Commissioner Gordon trying to do that, though.
Right, but you could also see Commissioner Gordon failing because of that, too, though, right?
Like, yeah,
there's
exactly.
There's not a storyline where you see that work out.
No, you're right. You're right. All right, well, we reviewed Nightwing for you guys. Let's hope he gets back to being regular Nightwing sometime soon. All right, well, that wraps up our comic books talk for this week. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk the Titans television show.
In a world where podcasters talk about the same old pop culture topics, two heroes must rise to bring forth a new era of podcast entertainment. The Cigar Nerds Podcast. Movie reviews, pop culture debates, news, science, and even beer reviews. We're stranger than Stranger Things and funnier than an evil sewer clown. CigarNerdPodcast.com. We all smoke down here, Georgie.
And we're back. Let's talk Titans. Season 1, Episode 12, Coriander. Is that how you pronounce her name?
I think so.
Okay, good. I actually pronounced the name correct for once. Okay, so in this episode, Corey discovers she is an alien on a mission to stop Trigon from destroying the worlds. So we finally find out what's going on with Corey.
I cannot express how deeply unsatisfying that was. I know, because it was my problem with this show is that the two biggest mysteries have been, who is Rachel's dad? We know this. Most people watching this show know that. And then, what is the deal with Corey? We also know that. I would say an even large, even for the most people watching this show probably know who Trigon is. And there are even fewer people who don't know that Corey is an alien. And so when they were, I thought like the mystery was supposed to be, I thought, around how she lost her memory, or like, is something going on where somehow Starfire somehow like inhabited a body or something like that. And it seems to just be, nope, that is Starfire. And now she actually knows that she's Starfire. And I was like, that, come on. Like, that is such a lame payoff.
The other thing I was disappointed, they never told us how she lost her memory.
I'm hoping that they're going to do something with that in season two. I hope. Because they don't, you're right, because they never explain it this season. I'm hoping that it's incomplete for a reason and that we'll get more to it. That will hopefully make it interesting and worth the while in terms of mystery. Because if the mystery really just is, who is she? What a terrible mystery. Almost every single person watching this show knows that she's Starfire.
Yep.
It's got to be like 2% of the people watching this show, if that. Because this is the thing. They have to remember where this is airing. This isn't airing on ABC or Fox. This is airing on the DC streaming service. The only people watching this are people willing to buy the DC streaming service.
And it's going to be DC fans.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not... her mystery and the mystery of Rachel's dad being Trigon are just, they're not mysteries to the people that you have actually watching your show. I would not harp on this point that much if it was on Fox or ABC, to be honest with you, because I would get it, because I would believe that a large portion of the people watching the show wouldn't know that. But it's not. It's airing on the DC streaming service. Almost everyone knows that Corey is Starfire and that she's an alien. That's not surprising. And why you would drag that out for 10 episodes for the reveal to be, yep, she's an alien. That's just, How is that not unsatisfying? I mean, it's just, there's just no satisfying payoff to that. It's like, oh yeah, I knew that. I think everybody knew that.
Yeah, we did. And
the other thing that I thought that I was a little disappointed with, this episode starts off with kind of what we saw throughout the Hawk and Dove episode, which was Rachel kind of calling out to them somehow through time. And they never really explained that. It was such an interesting thing. And I thought that they would go into like Rachel being like, I don't like even her not fully understanding how she's doing it. And they just don't explain it.
They don't explain it. And then nothing comes about it. Hawk and Dove don't come showing up looking for her either, unless that's going to be in season two.
That, so now see, I agree you don't get them showing up, however within the timeline of the last two episodes that is actually believable, because she's getting attacked, she's like in the midst of getting attacked by Corey when she sends out that message, and then by the end of season one only like 12 hours have passed or so.
Okay, yeah, right? I guess that does make sense. Yeah.
Because it's during the daytime, Dick and Donna show up and stop Corey, and then they go off and find the spaceship. And then by the end of that episode, and then episode 11, it's nighttime of the same day. Okay, so throughout the episode of episode 10, all of a sudden we start getting hints that the mom is not actually on Rachel's side, that she is actually still working for Trigon. That surprised me. I don't know about you. That seemed to come kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah, I was not expecting that either. It was, I like the way they did it, because it was a surprise.
And it seemed to almost directly contradict some of the stuff that they had done earlier, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, she was being really motherly-like and stuff, and maybe she was just doing that because to keep the secret.
Was she? But she sends the... I'm wondering if she got brain. If she, well, I'm thinking. Well, we'll eventually learn that they actually did successfully brainwash her while she was held captive. Because we know that the mom, prior to when we see her, definitely isn't on Trigon's side, and that's why she moves Rachel away. And I'm wondering if they successfully brainwash her in the meantime, or what, or maybe Rachel's step. I don't know. What do you call her? Foster mom, stepmom,
yeah,
forcibly took Rachel away.
That could have been, because the nuns seem to be trying to hide and protect her.
So we'll see. We're definitely going to get something about that, because it was a good surprise, and I definitely was not expecting that. And I liked the way they slowly revealed that something wasn't quite right with her, and then the way that she successfully lures Rachel into letting Trigon into this dimension, I thought was very clever. Like, it was frustrating as a viewer. You're like, what are you doing? You're falling for her plan.
I know. It was. And I was like, no. But it was great, though. It was a great plan.
The end of episode 10, I thought was excellent. I thought it was a great build-up. It was like, okay, I know that the mystery of who Rachel's dad being Trigon is stupid, but like, for that scene, I thought the payoff was pretty good. I was like, okay. That's legit. This whole scene, or that finally he comes through, his plan, at least initially, is succeeding. Like, he gets what he wants. He's back on Earth. He's got Rachel at his side. I was like, dang. Okay. And so then that brings us into episode 11. Because I got to say, when I saw the trailer for episode 11, I had not yet watched episode 10. And I was like, what is going on with this trailer? Because the trailer shows that super violent Batman and Bruce coming, and Bruce and Dick coming to a head confrontationally, and it was like, what? Is that really the actual world that we're going with Titans? And it's not.
I know. When I saw the trailer for that, I was like, I was wondering what the heck they were doing with Batman 2. I was like, this is not my Batman. I think I even said that a few weeks ago. This is not my Batman. And I was very intrigued to see this episode, to see what the heck was going on. It was well played, I thought.
I enjoyed, so episode 11, we get Dick kind of living in this alternate dream world that Trigon is clearly leading him down a path of corruption to accepting the darkness and within him. And it's interesting, because Dick, what's fascinating is by the end of the episode, Trigon tells Rachel that Dick ultimately chose that path, which is technically true, but I really liked it in that it was sort of that deal with the devil lie where it's technically true, but really Trigon never really gave him an opportunity, because Dick did actually choose to walk away several times, and Trigon kept changing the circumstances to force him to keep going down that path.
Yeah, if you noticed, when Dick would make a choice, you'd see they did. I like how they did it, because it felt like the scene was reset. You know, like you were in the Matrix or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dick would make a choice, and if Trigon didn't like that choice, he'd like do a reset and make things worse. It was very interesting.
There was one scene I thought was, I liked the interplay between him and Dawn, and you can kind of see as their interactions get a little bit more hostile, as Dick kind of slipping further into the darkness. The one I didn't really get the point of overall as a scene, though, was the last one that we get. So she's calling, or one of the two is calling each other, and she's painting the room, and they show that Hank is there helping paint the house. And understandably, Dick is a little bit upset about it, but that ultimately nothing comes of that. I thought that was odd. You know what I mean? Like, there was other scenes that they showed that, like, the last time that he talked to her, he's making the choice to leave again, and then that's when we get another scene reset, like you said.
Right.
But that last one, nothing changes because of that. I thought that one was weird. I thought that there must have been another scene that they were going to add.
And they must have cut it out.
Cutting or something, don't you think?
Yeah.
I kept thinking that they were setting up something bad to happen at home, and then they never did.
Yeah. Like she suddenly just choose to go with Hank or something.
She'd either choose to go with Hank or the baby. I thought the baby was going to miscarry. I was 100% convinced the baby was going to miscarry.
Yeah, because that would have pushed him further, too. So they obviously had something else they probably cut out.
I really, don't you think? Because that was the one thing, as I was watching it, I didn't think anything of it. It was like, okay, things are continuing to get worse and worse at home. And I thought something else would happen with that, and then it didn't. And I was like, oh, I don't really get the point of that last one. Obviously, I see the one point in that it shows that their relationship is degrading as Dick is getting further into darkness. I get that point. But why bring Hank in for that? Like, you don't need Hank to show that. And in fact, I think Hank makes it harder to see that, because it's more of an outside effect and not just the darkness within Dick that's affecting it.
Yeah. I mean, this episode was really dark. I mean, I like the fact they started it off all happy, too, with Dick and Don's future life. It looked really happy.
And very bright, too.
And very bright,
that's the other
thing.
It happens during the daytime, and it gets as the episode goes along, it gets into night, and it gets very dark and just brutal.
Yeah. I mean, we have Commissioner Gordon who's dead. We have Alfred who's dead. Barbara's gone missing. They kept going to the fact that Dick's the only one who can save Batman. And Batman they even said Batman killed Joker just to spite Dick.
Yeah.
Which is very un-Batman-like.
I thought this was a good episode. However, I will say it was a horrendous season finale, though. You can tell that this season was supposed to have another episode.
Yes.
And I know that something happened and they shortened it down to 11 episodes. I don't know what that whatever was happened, but it shows, because this should not have been the final episode of the season.
Yeah, I agree.
It was very good, and I think it's very good as the penultimate episode of a season, where like it sets up something even bigger or worse to happen in the final episode. I don't need necessarily, like, the season can end on a bad note. That's fine. And I honestly was kind of expecting that, because if you defeat Trigon within the first season, as slow as they were going, it would feel cheap. Right?
Yeah.
So I have no problem that Trigon is winning at the end of season one. That I like. Frankly, I like. But this just was not good. It didn't really wrap anything up in terms of storylines. We have the very unsatisfying partial conclusion to Corey's story. And then basically everything else is left unanswered.
Yeah. Nothing's resolved. Then we get to the end and we get that clip of Superboy breaking out of Cadmus with Crypto.
even that was very dark. I will say one thing I would like, I'm not going to lie, for season two is just like a, just toning down just a smidge. Like going from like a 10 on the 10 out of 10 violence to like a 9. Because I felt like, you know what I mean? Like even like with the Superboy thing, he was killing scientists. And it was like, can we not? Can we have one hero that we feel comfortable actually rooting for on this show?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's one thing. Like, I would not feel this way if this level of violence was the Doom Patrol show. I'd be fine with that because the Doom Patrol is weird and you could go in a weird dark corner with that. It worked on the Titans episode that we got, but it was with the Titans. And I just don't think that that's – especially when the exact same streaming service has an animated version of the exact same team and is the exact opposite in terms of how dark it is. I guess, I'm sure they're probably trying to go for something different, something new, but, like, I really don't need a murderous Superboy and a, like, borderline homicidal Nightwing.
Let's hope it does brighten up a little bit.
I am fine with the gritty stuff, and I am fine with all of that, and it kind of being, the action scenes being, like, Arrow-style action scenes, but even with a little bit more grit to them. That's fine. I just want my heroes to be like a little bit more heroic. I would like to feel good rooting for the Titans on the show. And a lot of times, especially like Corey and Dick, I feel very uncomfortable rooting for sometimes.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Especially Corey. Corey's the murderer. She's a murderer on the show.
Yeah, she is. I haven't heard when Titans is going to come back out again. If it's going to be next year or when.
Yeah, I don't know. So what are your thoughts overall on this, on Titans first season?
I liked it, but I do have some issues with it. It can be a little too dark sometimes, I think. But overall, it's pretty interesting. A few story issues here and there, too. Like you said, with both Corey and Raven, their storylines, you know, there was no big secret there. It'd be more interesting to have something revealed that's surprising, like Rachel's mother's turn. That was surprising.
Yeah.
But the fact that Rachel's father was Trigon, we already knew that. And the fact that Corey was Starfire, we knew that. That was no big surprise. I want to see the team come together, and I want to see some interesting battles and drama and stuff going on within the team. I'm interested in exploring the Dick, Hank, Dawn love triangle more. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that would be interesting to see exactly what happened in the past and how they got to where they are now.
Overall, I thought most of these episodes were strong individual episodes. I thought one of the weakest things with this season was that it was a poorly put together season of a show. That like the Hank and Dawn episode happens way too late into the, like, inexplicably late into the season. Obviously, the season finale was clearly not meant to be a season finale, and it was just kind of issues like that where like the episodes themselves were quite good. Like I liked episode 11 quite a bit for the most part, but I was very unsatisfied with it being the season finale. The other thing I would, like I said, I would like the violence toned down just a notch, just like one notch down. And then I would like them to kind of stop dancing around the corners of some of the stuff. Like they seem willing to acknowledge a lot more of the DC universe than other DC shows have been, which is good, and it's how it should be, but they still seem to be playing really cute with it when I really feel like they don't need to. Like Batman, we only kind of ever really saw like glimpses or like, you know, just the back of his head. Like kind of like season one Supergirl with Superman. We only would ever see the back with the cape. Like when we see in Arkham Asylum, we just see like the hand of the Riddler or the hand of Two-Face. And it's just like, I like that we're kind of getting this, but you are on the DC streaming service. If you can't go all in on showing us DC stuff, what show can? Like, who has permission to do it if you don't?
Yeah, that makes tons of sense. And it'd make a lot more sense if Dick was interacting with Bruce. You know, let's either have some fighting between the two or some resolution. Let's do something besides keeping him in the shadows.
I'm hoping by the end of season two, we're done with. See, the one thing that's kind of getting me through, because I'm not crazy about how they portray Dick Grayson, is that we're kind of in the angsty period between when he leaves as Robin and when he becomes Nightwing. And so in my head, I'm like, okay, he's still in that angsty period, right? And when he becomes Nightwing, maybe we'll get the kind of happier, brighter Nightwing. I'm hoping by the end of season two, he becomes Nightwing and he kind of like heals that relationship with Batman, because I really don't want to keep getting the kind of angsty in between Dick Grayson.
I agree with you there. What's one thing I was disappointed about this season? He didn't become Nightwing. I thought that was what's going to happen in the season finale. I thought he was going to put all this Batman stuff behind him and finally become Nightwing, but obviously that didn't happen.
Yeah, so we'll see where they go with season two. I mean, I am intrigued to see what they do with Trigon. I was very surprised when Trigon popped out and he was just a normal dude. So I was kind of like, oh. But they kind of made it work.
Yeah, they did.
They made it work. So I'm excited to see what they do with that. They clearly are trying to make a bigger team than this season's team was. Because we kind of talked about how like unsatisfyingly small it is with just the four of them. So it seems like Hawk and Dove are probably going to be part of the team, probably Donna Troy, and probably Superboy. Like, that's pretty good. Like, when you have all of that, that's a pretty legit Titans team.
Yeah, but we need to actually get the team together. It feels like they're going to go another season without having the team totally together yet.
Yeah.
And I'm not wanting that. I want the team to get together.
This is the thing where when people talk about superhero fatigue, usually what they're, I personally think the issue is not superhero fatigue, but origin fatigue. And this show seems to be, I thought in a lot of ways, unaware of where the superhero genre is at in terms of mass media, right? They're focusing, they doubled and tripled down on origin, right? This entire season is origin, and it's not even done. They're still not the Titans at the end of season one. They kind of do that cutesy thing where they kind of acknowledge comic book stuff but don't really go too heavily into some of the stuff, like kind of those mid-2000s superheroes things would do. They're like, yeah, there's this stuff in the comics, but that's for nerds. So we're going to have Donna Troy, who doesn't wear a costume. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I'm hoping that they embrace more of the comic book, I guess.
I hope so, too, because when you were mentioning that, first thing that jumped into my mind was Smallville. You know, because
yes.
On there, we had the characters, but we never had them in costume and stuff.
Well, they're willing to name drop. That was the thing. Like, they're willing to name drop Superman and Wonder Woman. And, like, I don't need them to show up on the show all the time, but, like, it got to a certain point where they had name-dropped so many characters, but they kept never actually showing anything, or, like, just the most almost insulting teases with them. And it was just like, guys, come on. You are on the DC streaming service. If you can't show this to us, who can?
Exactly.
I would like it to just embrace, like, just be like, I don't know. I don't know who's calling the shots on this. And if there's some executive that's like, no, you can't show that on this, then they need to be fired. I'm sorry. But, like, if you can't show any DC character on the DC streaming service, what is the point? What is the point of the service?
Mic drop right there. All right. Well, that wraps up our show for this week. Do you have a shout out, Cletus?
Yeah. So we talked about Outsiders, Young Justice Outsiders is on the streaming service now, but more importantly, Green Lantern, the animated series, is now on the DC streaming service. I have gushed about this series before. I know not everybody's going to watch it and think it's the perfect series like I do. I get that. But it's so good. If you have not seen it before and you like Green Lantern, you should watch it. It's everything you could want for a Green Lantern TV show. It's amazing. It hits almost all of the Geoff Johns era notes. The only thing that's a little bit disappointing is it's clear that they're setting up the Sinestro Corps, you know, like in the season that was supposed to follow, and that never goes there because it got canceled. That's like the only sad part about it, is you can see them teasing it and they never get a chance to actually fulfill that promise. But other than that, I mean, they hit so many things within that show. It's amazing. I highly, highly recommend Green Lantern, the animated series on the DC streaming service.
And I can make an announcement right now. We will be talking about that series this summer. So I'm gonna start watching. I can't say I've never seen any of them. I remember we were on vacation one time. I saw an episode or two, and it looked like a really good show. My youngest, I told him, was on the app. He immediately stopped what he was doing and got on there and started watching the show because he loves that. He loves it. So, but yeah, we will review it probably in the summer when the shows are on hiatus, because I'm really interested in checking it out. And I know we're both big Green Lantern fans, so I bet we could dedicate an episode to season one.
For sure.
All right, and for my shout out, I am going to also shout out about something on the DC Universe app, and that's Teen Titans 2003 animated series. If you're looking for more Titans, there's 5 seasons of it, and this was the series that was on before Teen Titans Go and was a little more serious. Don't remember too much about it. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I remember it being pretty good.
I loved it when I was a kid growing up. That was on, and Justice League, the animated series, was on, and those were great. Those were a great combo.
So if you're looking for more Titans, check it out. All right, if you'd like to comment on anything we've talked about tonight, you can call our feedback line at 317-564-9133, or you can email us at earthstationdcu@gmail.com. All right, coming up next week, we got a lot of comics we're going to be talking about, Cletus, which is kind of exciting. We're going to be talking Action Comics, Batgirl, Detective Comics, Heroes in Crisis, Justice League Odyssey, Flash, Terrifics, and Wonder Woman. Plus, Cletus and I will be talking about our top 5 DC comic storylines. So, it'll be interesting to see what some of our favorite stories are. All right, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Time to go.
You sure this is necessary?
The Guardians of the Universe seem to think so.
How long will you be gone?
But we will be back, little brother.
I wish I could go with.
I doubt your mother would approve.
I'll miss you.
Perhaps you could water the plants in my apartment while I am gone.
Be careful, all right?
May the gods be with you all.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.